Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We appreciate you joining us here during the holidays as things get a little frigid around here this week. We're going to warm things up. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour, three more stops before it's all over with and Santa comes down the chimney. We'll be at Costas on Thursday with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock and all my rock and roll goons in Dundalk, including my 85-year-old middle school music teacher who's going to come by and tell some old stories or sing some Christmas carols. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. Friday, we will be at Gertrude's with the great Dan Rodericks, my Portuguese cousin, with my real cousin, John Shields, talking about crab cakes and the BMA and 1966, which is Dan Rodericks' new play that's going to begin in March. And then on Monday, we'll be at Planet Fitness in Timonium, wrapping things up. This guy, I miss seeing him at various games at Gillette Stadium or Fenway Park or sometimes Camden Yards during the era. He began a whole movement in my wife's homeland where she is up freezing in New England for the holidays. We welcome Dan Shaughnessy, author, writer, Boston Globe legend, Hall of Famer too. I mean, I got to make sure I get that in here. How you been, Dan? Everything good? It's great to have you back on. And look, it's not Orioles Red Sox, but it's Patriots Ravens, and it's a pretty good one this week, right?
Well, thank you, Nestor. I'm good. And the most important thing on the resume you didn't mention, which was my stint at the Baltimore Evening Sun, 1977, 78, and staying on to cover the Orioles out of Washington right through 1981. So those were 5 great years, and I'm forever grateful for my time there. I had never lived anywhere except New England. I really never have, except for that period. I was very young. I had never written a check before. I came to Baltimore and bought my first used my first checkbook at Stebbins Anderson to buy a bunch of Izod shirts and a desk and hardware, and the place had everything. And lived in Towson and got my American Express card down to the big bank downtown by the Sun Papers, and just have really fond memories of the whole time there. So I look forward to coming back there this weekend and maybe see a couple familiar faces from the old days.
Oh, what years were this? 77 to 81?
Yeah.
When
Yes.
exactly did you leave?
Well, I came in April. Brooks was still on the team, and Eddie Murray was a rookie. So it was a very golden time. Earl was still managing, and you
Herb
just had Hall of
Jones,
Fame.
too. We're on the football side, right?
Burt
Like, what?
Jones still th throwing that fastball. He was still going there. And, the Colts, of course, were sharing space at Memorial Stadium with the O's. And it was just, I've spoken to Belichick about it because in 75 or 6, we were both right out of college, and he was working for $25 a week, driving around, I think, for Ted Marchibroda, getting film, and his first job in the NFL was there. So, weirdly, we were both in and out of Memorial Stadium a lot, 77, in there. And he quickly, I think he went to the Lions and from there. But anyway, just a great time in Oriole history, and that's when they really started drawing fans. And of course, it's way before Camden Yards, and they drafted Cal Ripken my second year there, and of course we all knew Cal Senior. He was a coach, and just being part of that, and it was really fun to see it from the ground up.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, for everything you went through there with the curse and all the championships, bring me full circle on where you are. I'm 57 now. I've written 2 books on football championships. I've seen Angelo's reign of terror for 30 years. He's gone. He's dead. The boys are gone. Rubenstein's, and they signed Pete Alonso. They had a press conference at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon at the warehouse. So, like, I don't even know what to say, Dan. The owners made a bobblehead of himself last year, but now they're making it rain up in here, right? They're starting to spend some money. And so for our ten, the reason I even ask you is, like, you were here when Harbor Place was built, right? Like, you, right? So, I mean, you saw this renaissance of Baltimore, and we're all kind of waiting for the next thing. And you went off to Boston, and whether it's Celtics, and I know you got books on the Celtics, the Bruins, gosh, the Patriots, Red Sox, they've all won so much. Meanwhile, the Orioles are this thing here, and the Ravens have this Lamar thing, and they were under 500 5 minutes ago. And here comes Drake May. And it feels to me, having watched the Patriot thing, that this thing's coming on again in some way. And it's sort of the ghost of Belichick through Vrabel, and they got this kid that can play, right?
Yeah, made yesterday a really interesting day at Gillette Stadium because the Patriots, of course, they won the division 17 times in 19 seasons with Brady and Belichick. And the last time they won the division was 2019, Brady's last year as quarterback of the team. So Tom leaves, and then the torch is passed to the Buffalo Bills, who won the division 5 straight years in Brady's absence. Well, yesterday the Patriots had a chance to reclaim the division, and they lost. They were ahead 21-0 in the second quarter, celebrating madly. And the Bills came back and scored touchdowns on 5 straight possessions. Josh Allen basically raising his hand, saying, "Not done yet." And so the AFC is up for grabs, including you guys. And that's what makes this game this weekend really exciting, coming into town. Because I know the Ravens have struggled. I know it's not the same. I know they're 7-7, but I didn't see yesterday's game because I was in Foxborough. But shutting out Burrow looks like a pretty good thing. And that's very much I think the Ravens are favored, and the Patriots have won 10 straight games before blowing a 21-0 lead in the second quarter against the Bills yesterday. And so they're kind of smarting as they come into your place on Sunday night. And it's great buildup for this game. And obviously the NFL knows that. They flexed it to the Sunday night football game. So I know you guys have to have it. I know you have the Steelers, the last game of the season, and you got to win the division. You kind of got to
Got
win
to go to
out. So
Green
it's,
Bay Christmas
yeah,
weekend here.
it's, well, Denver beat him last night. I know it wasn't in Green Bay, but so yeah, I that it's a great finish to the NFL season for all these cities. Ours, yours, Green Bay, Pittsburgh's. It's just what the NFL, it's what they like, and it's great.
It's zany, right, Dan? I mean, Brady's calling games. Philip Rivers is throwing touchdown passes, right? And Aaron Rodgers is still trying to win his way into all of this. The sunburn that the Patriots took on Sunday in blowing a three touchdown lead to the division rival, all that. I don't know the gray in my beard and where Mike Vrabel is. That might have been a good sunburn with a two game lead. As some sort of an awakening to say, yeah, we had it right where we wanted until we didn't. And now look at where we are, and we're going to Baltimore, and here's Lamar, and it's going to be cold here and all that. Th this is a good learning step, I think, a teaching moment for Mike Vrabel for what happened on Sunday, because it might not cost them anything if they get back up and dust off, right?
I think it's a spot on observation. And being down there yesterday and seeing his comportment after the game, he wasn't really out of sorts about that too much. And I think he probably, you could see positives in that. Never good to blow a 21-0 lead, that whole thing. But they weren't going to win out. I mean, that would have been like a 15 game winning streak to finish the season, or 14 game winning streak finish season. That wasn't going to happen. And the only other game really that you would think they could lose would be this one coming up with your team Sunday night. So I think for him, okay, we got the loss out of the way. Everybody's awake now, and let's carry on. And like you say, they should still win the division, get a first round home game. The bye's probably gone. And there was no scenario in which they could tie Denver and come away with the top seed anyway. Now that Denver's going to lose twice. So I think that the bye is gone for New England. They're going to have to play the first round wild card weekend, but they're going to be home. They still have a Jet game. They have a Dolphin game, which could be meaningless at the end of the season. Who knows? But this one, big consequences for both teams Sunday night.
Dan Shaughnessy is here, the man, the myth, the legend. You can still follow his work at the Boston Globe. He's still making his way to Gillette Stadium on questionable weather days up into the corner of the press box for clam chowder, no doubt. Give me an assessment of. Listen, the Patriots haven't been very good the last couple of years, right? Firing Mayo. I went to see your previous tweets from a year ago about like this has got to change. Vrabel sort of waiting in the wings after getting thrown out of Tennessee, and probably could have worked in other places, but I don't know what that Kraft, Brady, Belichick, the blood test they took when they were taking air out of footballs and cheating with camera, like all that whole cult that's around that. It feels like it's coming back again to some degree, but the last couple of years, including Kraft with the Chinese massage, but there's all the
Oh,
things
sure.
that have happened there. Watching Brady go get drunk and party down in Tampa Bay with the trophy. What's transpired there from 50,000 feet for a Ravens fan that said, SOB's won enough. I got bored after the fifth Super Bowl with them. And then Brady went on and continued. And Belichick's like an embarrassment to some degree in North Carolina now. Like, it's weird how the aftermath of the minute that Brady and Belichick broke up, that how much has gone on, but it feels like the Patriots could play in the Super Bowl again in 7 weeks with a whole different cast.
Everything you just said is true, and it is. So Brady was here 20 seasons, as we said, 17 division titles. You know, it went to 13 AFC championship games, 9 Super Bowls, won 6 of them. I mean, the numbers are staggering, and it was kind of a bookended. You know, they won 3 in the early part of the 20th century, and then 3 more in the teens. They had that big gap in the middle, and the cheating scandals, all that's true. And as it went on, you know, personality started to get. It was like, who's getting the credit? Who gets the biggest share of the credit pie? And then it became the blame pie when things started to fall apart. And you know, Tom leaves first, and then he wins the Super Bowl. That wasn't good for Bill. And then Kraft had his transgressions and keeps getting the arm bar at the Hall of Fame, which drives him bananas. You know, he's got another shot this year, but he's been waiting 13 years, and Jones is there, and that drives him crazy. So, and everybody's making documentaries and these books coming out, and they're all steered toward one person or another of the trio. And so there wasn't a lot of glory when it was over as to who's getting credit, who's getting blamed. And as you say, Bill's gone to Carolina, and that's not a good look down there. And Needy Bob still waiting for the Hall of Fame. And Tom, maybe not best served being on TV. I don't know. It's, but he's been stranger each year. You know, he's cloning his dog now and all these weird things. So that's weird. But for Kraft, it's, as you say, last year was critical that they haven't won a playoff game since Brady left. And the Mac Jones experiment kind of didn't work. And Belichick really went up in flames, having defensive guys as the old coordinators and just drafting poorly. And his last year, they win 4 games. He's fired. Kraft hires Gerard Mayo, nice guy, not ready. They win 4 games. And this is where Kraft steps up and does the right thing. He fires his coach after one season, which he didn't want to do. That's admitting a mistake. It's losing face. But it was important to do because they didn't waste any more time. It wasn't going to take off under Gerard Mayo. It just wasn't. And then May is drafted with the 3rd pick, and I think they would rather have him than the guys, you know, Caleb Williams, or I don't know. I just think he's maybe the best of the lot. You can go back to that Marino draft with, you know, Todd Blackledge and Elway and Kelly, and there's been a lot of interesting ones, but this one will be interesting as the years go on. So it all comes together here, 2 consecutive 4-win seasons, and this year their best record in football going into yesterday's game. And 10 game winning streak. They're back in the playoffs, and the quarterback looks like the real deal. He didn't have a great day yesterday, but he said, you know, he's been completing 70% of his passes. He's in the MVP conversation as a top 2 or 3 guy, and they still got 3 regular season games left. So it's all come back much faster than anticipated. Vrabel, as you say, he was, you know, 6 years as head coach in Tennessee. I don't know why they didn't look at him harder last year. He was consultant with Cleveland after Tennessee fired him. But he's no nonsense, and he's a player's coach, and he's got gravitas. You know, he won 3 Super Bowls. He caught Super Bowl touchdown passes as a linebacker, and he's 50 years old. He's kind of in his prime, and he's been coach of the year. He's coached at an AFC championship game, so he knows what he's doing. And Mayo didn't, and so it's all kind of come together way faster than anybody thought it would. And they are young, and they're not deep. And they've got some holes in the offensive line now, some guys hurt. But they're fun. And we see this as a gift. We just weren't expecting this so fast this year. So with the new coach and the quarterback in his second year having this kind of season, you'll see him Sunday night. That'll be a good test. And he's coming up against a good defense. We wonder about him with the wet ball and the cold weather. He's a North Carolina fella, and he hasn't really had it. And there's some rainy moments in Tampa early in the season where he had trouble, and yesterday he had trouble, and he might be a little too active, you know, throwing blocks for Henderson, going and running down the field, and not sliding sometimes when he's you know carrying the ball. So they worry about those sort of things. But he's a football player, and he's a very humble kid. You always want the youngest of 4 brothers. That's what he is. They're all athletes, and it's playing real well here. So I think that'll be an exciting treat for everybody to see Sunday night, because it was. Yesterday, you know, Allen kind of put him in his place metaphorically as the second half went. It's like, here's how it's done. Here's playoff football. Here's snow football. Here's what we do. He threw a bazooka on one of those touchdowns where he's going to his right and threw it across his body to Knox 14 yarder. I love that shit. It's almost like the old Burt Jones throw, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't think. Listen, that's the beauty of the league right now. I don't know who the best player is. Ask me on any given week. The Ravens think they have the best player, and if he gets his wheels back in the next 3 weeks and they can win their way in, no one's going to want to come in here and play him. Dan Shaughnessy is here for the Boston Globe. We got a big Patriots Ravens game this week. It's almost old school, like Kyle Bowler and Tom Brady, or even when Joe Flacco was around here for a minute or two. So the May thing is interesting to me because of the brothers, because he's like the smallest of all of them. And what an interesting family. And I think the makeup, and that word came up last week with Pete Alonso getting $155 million of Orioles money, which ain't never been done around here, Dan. We're not like the Red Sox around here throwing money. But Luke is, an old schooler, and he's talking baseball, makeup, makeup. And I'm like, that's a word I don't hear so much anymore. What's his makeup? But that would be something for me with Vrabel. And I remember when Marvin was going to draft him, and he went to Pittsburgh and second round pick and like all of that. And how his life has turned out, the Vrabel thing feels to me like the real deal, that he's the kind of guy you want to be your head coach. That Kraft has really exhibited some wisdom here. That, listen, I'm not on the Hall of Fame committee, maybe one day, one way. I feel differently about owners and billionaires lobbying their way into the Hall of Fame. Dude, you got enough money, get there legitimately. But if there was a second blossoming here and somehow Bob Kraft's holding the trophy in 7 weeks, this is going to look pretty brilliant after some dark times there, right?
It is, and that kind of goes full circle to how you introduced the last question to me about the whole Kraft, Belichick, Brady thing. The Hall of Fame, it's in the final round now. The only thing left is the meeting, the bare knuckle brawling at the Super Bowl when they finally have the vote and all the 50 voters gather and nominees are all there. And Kraft and Belichick are in the final of the contributor category, which could include three guys. And they're up, there's three veteran players and Kraft and Belichick. So they're actually competing with each other still now for Hall of Fame credibility. And I think Belichick will sail in. And I think Kraft has a very good chance. And that'll be announced the night before the Super Bowl. So they could be on that stage in Canton, Ohio together, as awkward as that would be next summer.
Dan, I was fortunate enough to be a part of the Super Bowl 35 team. We had the 25th anniversary last week, and I had called Marvin to come on the show just to talk about the Steelers. I'm thrown out the last 5 years. They let my employee in, all this stuff. But Marvin told me they're having the reunion, and I didn't even realize it. And then I got invited to the party, and I went that night with Trent Dilfer and Matt Stover. Goose is dead. There are factions, as it would be 25 years later, about who still likes who. And obviously, with Dilfer getting thrown out of here by Billick and all of that that happened here, I look at the championships you've had. Forget the baseball side. I'll get the Big Poppy, and we'll get to the Orioles spending money in 1 minute. But just staying on the football thing, Kraft's legend and what happened to his wife and the tragedy there, and sort of his interesting dress code and the company he keeps and the Chinese massage parlor. Then there's Brady, who sort of owns the Raiders and eats avocado ice cream, is going to clone his dog, had this incredible divorce. He's doing games on television. He's sort of good at it some of the time. He really is. And then there's Belichick, who couldn't quit, had to go back, has to go to North Carolina, the NIL, the 21-year-old girlfriend. Just, I mean, it's freaky deaky in a way that I'm looking at it from a writer's perspective and trying to find some poignancy in all of the money, the glory, the championships, the privilege, the supermodel wife, just all of it. Money's kooky, Dan, right? I mean, maybe something you wouldn't have known with you and Phil Jackman covering Earl Weaver 50, 60 years ago, that sports would become this, right?
is, and that thing, I mean, I lived it, the whole Patriot thing. And as I said, I know Bill's an Annapolis guy, and I was there when Brady was drafted in the sixth round, and they kept him as a fourth quarterback in 2000, which is always a curious thing. Why is this guy around? And he played one game, but he didn't pay much attention to him. And but Belichick identified something to keep him around and find a way to push out Drew Bledsoe, who was pushed out by Mo Lewis, hitting him, almost killing him on the sideline. But so that the genesis of that was crazy. And Kraft, He wants people to think he invented the Patriots, but he did not. And Billy Sullivan invented them in 1960. And Parcells was already here and had turned things around when Kraft bought the team in 94. And he's a very needy owner, and he's been a good owner. He's built his own stadium. And as we just talked about, he was smart enough to admit his mistake last year and go get a different coach from his first replacement for Belichick. So, yeah, it's a narrative, and so many things have happened. And we didn't even get into the Deflategate, Spygate, all the gates. It's just been it was a crazy time, and it's
Well, they're sort
ongoing.
of defective people, right? I mean, serial cheaters. I mean, I have no doubt they were taking air out of footballs there to stop fumbling. I mean, I just look at the fumbling record of it and the bad weather and Brady and the gloves and all of that, and I think they cheated. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that at their core, they're really weirdly defective humans. And a lot, I mean, as I get older and I evaluate all of this and say, I don't know that I would want that yacht.
Well, I mean, I think, like with the deflation, I think they were doing it, but I don't think it made any difference. It was almost a Red Auerbach kind of thing. It's in the minds of the opponents. When they really put the tax to them and sanctions, and Tom got four games and a lot of bad things off that, which they deserved because they were doing it, in my view. But it didn't change anything. They kept winning. They kept not fumbling. They kept not dropping passes. It was more of a mental thing. I believe they were doing it, but I also believe it didn't. It wasn't the reason that they won. So those things can both be true. And yeah, it was. I was more amused by that, and their reaction. They're so defensive. But it created a thing around the country where it just fired up fan bases everywhere. Pittsburgh was hilarious. You still go in there and there's signs, Spygate and cameras, and it's like
Oh,
that
I
was
mean,
hilarious.
I keep company with a lot of coaches in the league, and obviously Pagano and Pease were very much in the middle of Deflategate and the Harbaugh tribe and everybody that was involved. They really believed that they were mic in the locker rooms. It had, like literally, they really believed there was espionage way beyond anything we'll ever know.
We
And
had that with Red Auerbach here with the Celtic thing. That existed. They're making the locker rooms too hot. There's no cold water. There's no hot water for the showers. All those things. And Red really enjoyed that. He felt it's not even my building. I got nothing to do with this. But they think it's a thing. So that gives us an edge.
Dan Shaughnessy's here. He's always had an edge because he's been doing it longer. I this week with the New England thing, I miss Phil Jackman so badly just for his accent that I'm going to call his daughter this week and talk to her. And you worked with him. And I think about the Orioles and the Red Sox and how long the longing has been for the Orioles. And look, the Red Sox have their own issues at this point, sort of a little bit of a rebound this year. But every time I bring you on, Bob Ryan, your colleague, will be here this week, and we talk about sort of the demise of the Red Sox, the ascension of the Blue Jays this year that nobody saw coming, the eternal evil empire of the Yankees. And I don't know where the Orioles fit in that. And I don't know where these guys that bought the team for $1.8 billion, John Angelos is off counting the money, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to get the money back. And they just dump this money in the Pete Alonso. The one thing the Orioles have right now is some interest level in that they could be good for being the last place team last year, given where the pitchers came on and given they've spent some money. And the Orioles are a prime mover of this offseason. And Dan, I don't know that I could have said that since maybe like Roberto Alomar and David Wells 30 years ago.
Well, I always want them to be good. It's a better world, and the Orioles are good. And I had high hopes. I'm sorry things didn't work out. Playoffs, you guys had those tough years and this and that. But man, and they haven't won a World Series since '83. And those are my guys. I mean, I knew that whole team. I got out of there in '81, so that's a long time. And it's a great baseball city. You got a great ballpark that's held up so well. And the division is just. It's really competitive again, and it's nice to see Toronto doing what they're doing. I mean, that kind of caught up with me. There was so many years where nothing worked up there. Even when they spent money, it just didn't work. Now it's working. They got a good manager, and I like what they're doing. I like what they're about. And New York, we like to make fun of them, but they're never bad. They're always in it, and it's almost fun to see them close all the time and not come through, but they're always respectable or better than that. They're in the playoffs, et cetera. So the Boston thing, they're teetering. They can go either way, and that's kind of on them. They've become content to make money annually, and that's not good in my view, but that's what they are now.
Well, the guys here are just trying to figure out how to make money, and obviously
Yes.
work stoppage next year, figuring out the media, all
Yeah.
that stuff. How are you doing? You still have your Celtics book, right? You're done writing books. You and AI aren't going to get together and write some sort of posthumous Bill Walton book or anything, right?
Yeah, God, that's nice. A nice thought. I love him so much. I know you do too. I'm probably 13 and out. I think I'm done. I never did a Baltimore book. I should have. You have good, you had Tom Callahan writing the books there, and he had a lot of good writers in Baltimore over the years. It's great. It's great hearing Phil Jackson's name. He was so good to me, a Worcester guy, and a great talent. And
He's my crazy uncle. I would be nothing without Phil Jackman. All of my acerbic wit, all of my sort of charming, profane, off the air. I owe it all to Jackman, whose favorite piece of profanity that I never hear anybody use anymore. When he some anybody can call something bullshit, right? He would call it ha shit. And so if it's ha shit, you really knew it was a bad call. You know what I mean?
That's
Dan,
right.
it's good to see you smile. Happy holidays to you. Hey, crab cakes at Fadley's when the Red Sox and the Orioles. Are you
Okay.
coming in for the game this week? Are you?
I'll be at the game Sunday
All
night.
right,
Yeah.
look, if crab's on me Saturday night for you, any of you want to come out, you want to do it, put the clams down and all that. Come on out. I'll get you a pro. I got a crab mallet right here. I'm always one reach away from my crab
Nice.
mallet, and my friends are Raskin Global. This is special crab mallet because you can open the beer with the other end of it. I bet you
Oh, I
never
like
seen
that.
that before, right?
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, ingenuity. That's how we're doing it down here. You don't find that on one of those clam bakes up there. My wife is freezing up with you right now in New England. We're getting ready for football here this week. My thanks to Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe for dropping by. It's like old home week around here. I don't even have the Red Sox and the Orioles, but Patriots Ravens, big week, holidays, Luke's and Owings Mills. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all over the place. Find it at Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.